Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie.
Yeah, I really don't have the singing in my heart, but I'll do it because it's only June, right?
Back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
I did that for you.
Chris McMichael.
I did it for you! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! 202 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Thursday morning. We got Alex on the other side. We're taking your calls. 888-808-1019. I got you for 3 hours to the warm-up show. And we'll be with you in our misery for the next 3 hours as it is as ugly as it can get, as the Yankees drop their sixth consecutive game, the third straight against the Angels. At least they did score a couple of runs on a couple of solo home runs and had, what, three hits for the whole game? Three hits in the entire game. I mean, just embarrassing. And then you get to the Mets as they're completely shut down by Chris Sale. The House of Horrors continues in Atlanta. They are 0-5 in their last five. We have a 5-game losing streak from the Mets on our hands, a 6-game losing streak from the Yankees, 0-11 between the two of them. We have not seen a victory since last Thursday. It's a week without a baseball victory. How is that possible? And the Mets, like, both teams playing just terrible, poor fundamentals, the whole bit, the stuff that's usually reserved for the Yankees, let's give it to the Mets as well. We saw all the outs on the base paths the other day. The disaster that was that game last night, yeah, shut down by Chris Sale. I'm not sure any of it really mattered. But you got Torrens, who they're asking to play because Alvarez has been so bad. He makes the big defensive gaffe the night before, throwing behind the runner. And he comes in, and he's awful. There are pass balls. He touches the ball with his face guard, his face mask, which is a catcher's balk, and allows a run in. And you knew, here's the thing about the Mets before we really get into the Yankees and what a ugly, hideous display of baseball we saw in the eighth inning and beyond. And we obviously have to have a conversation about Anthony Volpe. I know we always could have a conversation about Aaron Boone, but we have to have a conversation about Anthony Volpe here. But before we get to that ugliness, just the what we're seeing from the Mets and the ugliness that is typically reserved for the New York Yankees. And to see, like, when's the last time? Here's the thing about the Met game, too. Because if you go back all the way to last year around this time, 11 games under 500, the team meeting and everything that's come with it since. OMG, Grimace, the playoff pumpkin, everything else between here and there, the incredible vibes around this team. When is the last time? And maybe, you know, I'm not a Met fan, so you tell me. Maybe you felt this way. To me, it hasn't felt this way yet. But yesterday was the first time it felt like Acuña hits the home run to lead off the game, and the game is over. Game's over. That's what it felt like. It felt like from both these teams, but specifically the Mets in that situation where it was like Acuña gives up the home run, and it's over. And this Met team has been really good. This Met team, the offense has really struggled. They haven't scored any runs late in games. They've been bad. They haven't been able to overcome the dip in the pitching that they've encountered here over the last couple of games. Griffin Canning starting to come back to earth. Paul Blackburn, not very good after his one start against the Dodgers. Hasn't been good out of the bullpen. Wasn't very good in this game. We're seeing McGill, wasn't very good on the IL. Peterson, excellent. Even he contributes to the loss the other night with a leadoff walk in the eighth inning to the nine-hole hitter. But ultimately, it just, in Atlanta, against a team that was 13 games back, their biggest rival, and I know the rivalry thing has been a big story here, but this is the House of Horrors. This is the organization that has beat the Mets time and time again. And to go into this building as the clear-cut favorite in, you know, or, you know, the top of the division, clearly a better team, the Braves all the way back, and to come in and play probably the ugliest brand of baseball we have seen from the Mets in a while is kind of mind-numbing. And I know I'm not a Met fan, and I know that the Met fan, I was having this conversation with Fleegs about how it's still, there's a ton of Met fan. I made a comment about being jealous of the Mets because at least a loss can be a loss. Where it feels like, for me as a Yankee fan, a loss can't be a loss anymore. Every single loss is an indictment on why they haven't and will never win a World Series ever again. Where I'm almost a little jealous that the Mets can just have a bad loss. And that's it. And you move on from it. But he was getting on me because he's like, that's proof you don't have any Met fans in your life. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I know there's still Met fans out there, like Frank the Tank, he's the shining example of it, but are waiting for impending doom, waiting for the shoe to drop. It's still the Mets, right? I talked to a couple of Met fans who even after the Juan Soto thing, was like, yeah, he'll probably suck because that's what happens with Mets. You know, but for the most part, the vibes around the Mets have been really good. And I can't remember as a independent observer, as Evan Roberts likes to say, as a Yankee fan who openly doesn't hate the Met fan and doesn't hate the Mets, as I've watched this team, it's been few and far between in the last calendar year games that I have felt after the first pitch of the bottom of the first that the game was over. And that's what it felt like for me with the Mets. And to have that be the fifth game of a five-game losing streak, losing the series now in Atlanta, with, you know, Strider, who's a pretty damn good pitcher on the mound tomorrow against Clay Holmes, who has pitched great, but is, you know, we'll see how he recovered from his last start. I haven't heard anything. Didn't recover great from the start before that in Colorado. They limited him to 85 pitches. I mean, they are right behind the Yankees looking at a sixth loss dead in the face and a sweep by the hands of the Atlanta Braves. What the hell is going on? And now both teams are only, the Mets are a game up on Philadelphia. After jumping out to, what, a five-game lead just a week ago? They were down. Like, 2 weeks ago, they were down a game. A week ago, they picked up six and were up five. Now it's back down to only a one-game lead. And the Yankees, who had a seven-game lead over the Tampa Bay Rays, find it at 1.5, 2 in the loss column after another hideous, disgusting, despicable loss. And I'll tell you when I felt. And then you want to talk about the vibes? This is how bad I am. And I am as positive a Yankee fan as you will find. You can scour the tri-state area. Good luck finding another Yankee fan as positive as I've been with this group, with this manager, with Brian Cashman, and everything else. But I'll tell you when I felt like they were going to lose the game. And this is where they are. Because even their most passionate fans, I will tell you, when they made a huge deal after Bellinger hits the home run and the Yankees take their first lead in forever, right? It's the first lead in how long? Obviously, Jazz hits the home run. They finally get on the board after a first inning home run from Ryan Yarbrough. They get on the board. They tie the game. Jazz hits the home run. Bellinger gives them a 2-1 lead. And it's like, oh, we finally have a lead. Haven't had a lead since they won the game on Thursday. It's been how many innings without a lead, a lead, a lead. And then the first at bat of the next inning, boom, Adele hits a home run to tie the game at 2. And I felt like they're going to lose. They couldn't hold the lead for a batter. Not a single batter. They couldn't hold the lead for a second. And there was something about them, to me, the way the broadcast was talking about having a lead and then it evaporating on the first at bat of the top of the next inning. I was just like, this team is not, there is something going on with this team right now. There is. They are going through it. As bad as we have ever seen them go through it. I mean, we could talk about previous June swoons. To me, I don't get hung up on previous seasons. This team is different. It's a different team. It's completely a lot different. There are some players who are still here. Judge is still here. Anthony Volpe is still here. The manager is still here. But there are a lot of changes, and changes specifically designed to help with a lot of the problems that have occurred, specifically defense and base running. Not so much the situational hitting that's absolutely killing them right now. But they have gotten better at a lot of things. This is a different team. I don't want to get hung up on going back over the last handful of years. You want to, you can call me at 888-808-1019. We can. Every team is different. This team right now, for the first 68 games, didn't show these type of mistakes that they showed in Fenway. And now the inability to score a damn run. They led the American League in sacrifice flies. The offense led the league in every freaking category you can lead a league in. I mean, they've been the best offense in the American League, bar none. They still have pretty much the best offense in the American League, despite being the most inept seven-game stretch we have seen in the franchise since 1968. So for me, you want to talk about how it's the June swoon? We can. But I like to look at every team individually. And this team right now is going through it as bad as we have seen any of these June swoons. Because they are incapable. I mean, even as they are struggling here, they should have won 3 of these games. Like, even as they've been terrible, they had every opportunity, at least 2 in this series. The first game in this series and last night, they had every damn opportunity to win these 2 games, and they just refuse. And I know I'm an Anthony Volpe defender, and I know I'm an Aaron Boone defender. That's not to say they're infallible. And certainly Aaron Boone, this is what, like, I thought he had a terrible game last night. I thought Aaron Boone had a terrible game last night. I probably would have taken out Cruz in that 8th inning, and let's get to the 8th inning, because that's really the crux of the game. Right? 2-2, solo home runs. Ryan Yarbrough pitched fairly well. I mean, that's as much as you're going to get out of Ryan Yarbrough. And the one positive through this stretch, and the one thing that does make me feel better about moving forward, is we all know the offense isn't going to be this bad forever. And while they're this bad, the pitching staff has actually done a nice job. Clark Schmidt was excellent. Will Warren struck out a ton and was pretty damn good. Right, even the last game of the Red Sox series, Freed was ace-like. And last night, Ryan Yarbrough gives you 5 1/3 of 2 runs. Yes, you sign from that for your 5th starter every time out. He's been really good other than the one Red Sox game back in Yankee Stadium last week, 2 weeks ago now, whatever it was. Other than that, he's been great, and the pitching's been good. And that's the one positive about this. But the offense right now is so inept. And you get to that 8th inning, and Cruz walks 2 of the first 3. I would have taken him out for Hill against Rengifo and not allowed him to walk that 3rd hitter. I don't hate it necessarily because he strikes people out when he throws strikes. And you're looking for strikeouts with runners on base. And you don't expect him to throw 4 straight balls to walk his 3rd batter of the inning. But he was so wild, I probably would have went to Hill a batter earlier. But having said that, Boone makes the move to go to Hill with the bases loaded, and he gets exactly what you want. He gets the ground ball for the easy double play, and Anthony Volpe, who I have defended, and I will still defend because there's going to be the crazies who want to call me and tell me he's absolute trash, he's the worst shortstop in all of baseball, he doesn't belong on the Major League roster, and all the other crap I'm going to hear. And that's why I was part, you know, I joke about being jealous of the Met fan. I'm jealous of the Met fan because a player can have a bad game sometimes, at least with this new regime that they love and respect. That's the difference. Nobody most Met fans, I would think, are at least favorable of Mendoza and love Stearns and love the owner. Where most Yankee fans are fed up with Brian Cashman to God knows no end. They don't think Hal does quite enough. Even if they like him, they still don't think Hal does quite enough. Some think he's a cheapskate. Some think he just doesn't do quite enough. Nobody really loves him. Everybody longs for the days of his father, which makes me laugh sometimes. But everybody can't stand Brian Cashman, and God knows we hate the manager. So every single loss, every single play, every single bad game from an Anthony Volpe or whomever, it's some sort of indictment on how poorly run they are and how they're guaranteed to never win when it's just a bad game and it's just a bad situation. And that's what was last night. And Anthony Volpe, without question, had as bad a game as you can possibly play. He did everything other than... I guess there was that one play where it was a hard, bullet kind of up the middle and he turns it into a double play. It wasn't spectacular, but it was really good. Other than that, his at-bats were so bad. And his at-bats since the Red Sox series, this entire Angel series, have been so bad. And then even I, as a guy who will tell you he makes great plays, he's already won a gold glove, there is no doubt, and I don't even care so much about the 9 errors that lead Major League Baseball at shortstops. Obviously, that's a problem, and it's not good enough. It's the critical error. Compared to most of the fan base, I am an Anthony Volpe fan and defender. I think he's far better than people give him credit for. I think he's having a far better year than people give him credit for. But there is no doubt. There's no doubt anymore. In the biggest of moments. Now, in the postseason, he's played well. We'll save that conversation for a little bit later. But there is no doubt, in the biggest of moments, he is affected defensively.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
He lets the moment get to him. He lets the ball play him, which is what happened. Instead of being aggressive on that ground ball, he plays it back and waits for that second hop. To be fair, the hop probably does come up a little bit, but it's his fault for not attacking the baseball. He's got to make that play, bottom line. Bottom line. And we have seen it last year with Clay Holmes. And again, I defended Clay Holmes, and partly because I thought his defense let him down in a bunch of... He's a ground ball pitcher. He gets ground balls. Last night, you got the ground ball you needed with the bases loaded. Tim Hill comes in and does exactly what you need. He gets Adell to swing at a 2-0 sinker down in the zone and hit into a double play. The Yankees are on to the bottom of the eighth, still tied, if not for Anthony Volpe. And we have seen it time and time and time again in these critical moments, particularly late in games, with the closer on the mound, Clay Holmes. He was terrible behind Clay Holmes. Terrible. Going back to the last game of the first half last year in Baltimore with just an atrocious error. We have seen it time and time again. I still think he's a good defensive shortstop, but in the critical moments, he has killed them. And he got thrown out trying to steal second base. What happened to his run game? Forget all the other stuff he was promised. We act like we were promised the next Derek Jeter. I don't remember Brian Cashman telling us the next Alex Rodriguez, Cal Ripken, Derek Jeter was coming up with Anthony Volpe, like people tell me. But I certainly was told that he was better than this offensively. I certainly was told he's excellent defensively, maybe some arm strength issues. And I was certainly told that he was an impact on the base paths. That's disappeared. He's not nearly good enough defensively and makes critical errors. And while he has made improvements offensively, to just be fair, he's got 80 points higher on his career OPS right now. He leads the team in doubles. He's on pace for 90 RBIs. He's having a far better offensive season. But when he's in a funk, he looks awful, and he can't hit the fastball. And that swing to end the game last night, Jansen just came in and pumped fastballs right by him. And if you look at that last swing, he's about 6 feet underneath it. And why on earth, with two strikes, with the game on the line, why on earth are you taking such a cut that you fall to your knees? Anthony Volpe was atrocious. And then in the that leads to the bottom of the eighth inning, which is another example of this team struggling, and right now they're in it bad. Because there have been times, I know you don't want to remember it, and that's why I'm here to remind you. Over the first 68 games, there were times they manufactured runs, and we talked about it, how they were better at it than previous Yankee teams. They did. They have better speed. They were better with runners on third base and less than two outs. They led the American League in sacrifice flies. I believe they still do with 27. They've been better at it. They're still not good enough. And right now they are in their own freaking heads and they are terrible at it, including the manager. Because I don't understand. People are going to be critical about how he handled the bullpen in the top of the eighth. I can live with that. I don't think it's terrible. I would have done it a little bit differently, but Cruz strikes people out. You got runners on base. I need a strikeout in that situation. Cruz strikes guys out. If he could throw strikes, he strikes guys out. So I don't hate. I put more of that on Cruz not being able to throw a strike than I do the manager letting him have that opportunity to get another strikeout. But that bottom of the eighth, you get the leadoff walk. You pinch hit Wells, he gets hit by a pitch. You got Grisham up on a guy who is extremely wild. The first bunt attempt damn near hits him in the chest. And I was screaming on my television, take one for the team, Grish! But then he can't lay down the first bunt. And then he gets the count to 2-1. And I have no idea why the manager takes off the bunt. To me, I understand the idea that Judge is going to get walked. I could even make an argument. I would have bunted. 100% I would have bunted, and I would have been critical if Boone didn't bunt. But you can make an argument in that case. Listen, they're going to pitch around Judge. If I'm putting the entire inning on Bellinger there, I'm going to set it up for a double play. I'm taking the bat out of the best player in the world. I don't care what kind of funk he's in. We all know Judge is the best hitter in the world. I don't love the bunt there. I don't want to bunt there. I don't want to bunt there. I don't know if, you know, Grisham could pop it up. We've seen the struggles with bunting. Anyway, they're playing the bunt very aggressively, and I don't want to take the bat out of Judge's hand. Bellinger puts one on the ground. We're out of the inning. Like, or pops one up, which he did to third base. You know, I don't love the bunt there. I would have bunted, but I could understand that argument. But once you make the decision that the bunt is the play, once Boone decides that the bunt is the way he wants to go, don't tell me they're playing it aggressively. Don't tell me he's been wild. It's a 2-1 count. You bunt until there's two strikes once you make the decision to bunt. He did this with Volpe. He did this with DJ LeMahieu the other day, and he did it again with Trent Grisham, and both times he got screwed, and it's a stupid decision. Stupid. Stupid. And it drove me nuts last night that he didn't bunt. And of course, listen, that doesn't mean Grisham's got to pop it up. If Grisham hits a hard ground ball in the hole between first and second because they're playing in, we're all pleased. But I still don't understand it. Once you make that decision to bunt, you have to follow through. And right now, they just don't know how to get that run in, and you can sense it. You feel it at home. I felt it at home. They are feeling it. They're wearing it on their sleeves. And this is where I differ with some. It's not about Boone being too lackadaisical. It's not about the idea that he doesn't hold players accountable. I'm telling, that is not why. That is not why these bats are gripped too tight. They're too concerned. They're pressing. And now you've got Carlos Rodon on the mound this afternoon. You cannot get swept at home by the Angels in a four-game set. You can't. I know they swept the Dodgers in L.A. I know the Yankees won all three games out in Anaheim when they played them earlier in the year. I don't care. You cannot get swept. This is a huge game for Carlos Rodon tomorrow. It's a huge game for the offense to wake the hell up. Judge, and that's another thing. I don't care too much about the post-game stuff. I really don't. I know what he's going to say. He's going to defend everybody. I mean, it's been 8 years. Aren't we used to it? The idea we still scream and yell about that drives me absolutely crazy. We know he's not going to knock his players. Like, we know it. Get over it. Knocking the players isn't going to do anything. He doesn't do it. But to hear him say Judge isn't in a slump, watch. He's missing pitches. There's just no way around it. Judge is in a funk. And right now, that's the crux of this whole thing. Because I think it's unfair to say the offense has been nothing but Judge. That's not fair. The offense has been a lot more than Judge. But what they haven't proved yet, and I said this yesterday, and it's furthermore today, they haven't proved yet that when Judge slumps, they're not affected by it. And when Judge slumps, others can step up. When Judge is going well, the other guys chip in. It's not all Judge. They've been doing a really nice job, a lot of these hitters. But last year, pretty much the last 4 years since 22, when Judge slumps, nobody steps up. We've got two losing streaks on our hands with the Mets and the Yankees. We've got two really bad baseball. I mean, they're playing bad baseball. The Mets are playing ugly, bad, sloppy, wild pitches. When's the last time you? I didn't even know that was called a catcher's balk. That's crazy. The hell's going on with our two teams? And now the divisions are within one game. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. We'll come back, break it all down, get into the different situations. We have to have a deep talk about Anthony Volpe, because I will defend him to a level, but I really don't want to because I'm pissed at him right now, and he had a miserable game. And that final at bat, that final swing, from the swing, even though I had no problem with him swinging at the first pitch on the bases loaded in the first game of this series, the type of swing he took on that swing, the type of swing he took last night, the defense he's been playing, the non-impact on the base paths. Anthony Volpe is having one hell of a couple of days here, and he's killing the team.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.